Let us pray. God of truth and wisdom, God of love and presence, we are worried and distracted by many things, but one thing is need us. Hold us in your light and speak to us, that we may hear and be filled with your love. Amen.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel in the 10th chapter. As Jesus was on his journey, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to what he was saying. Martha was distracted with her many tasks, and so she came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, don't you care that Mary has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." But Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are distracted by many things and worried. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think this means that Jesus wants us to sort of sit with our eyes glazed over, praying about Jesus while the world goes on without us. Jesus really needs for Christians to do something. There's a lot of pain and suffering and injustice in the world, and we really need to do something. It's not that Martha was doing the wrong thing. In fact, Martha was doing exactly the right thing. She's a servant of Jesus. She's serving him. She's the one who's getting dinner on the table. This is in Luke's gospel, in John's gospel. Jesus, remember, raises Lazarus from the dead. About a week later, he goes to Lazarus' house with Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And John says, and there's a dinner that's provided for Jesus. And John says, "Martha served." She's a servant. She's the one who makes things happen. She's the one who drives home from work, stops off, pick up the kids, comes home, gets dinner ready, puts a load of laundry in, gets the kids ready for bed, puts another load of laundry in, while her husband sits and watches TV. While Mary sits and listens to Jesus. She's just asking for help. Martha is the one who cleans up after VBS, and she's asking for help. She's the one who taught VBS, and she stays after to clean up, and she's asking for help. Martha is the one who's serving coffee hour, and she's running back and forth serving while we're all standing around talking. And she's asking for help, so sign up. It wasn't what Martha was doing that was wrong. Jesus didn't say, "Martha, Martha, you're accomplishing too many tasks," or, "Martha, Martha, you're too active." What he said was, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. Only one thing is needed." I haven't exactly measured or kept track, but it certainly feels like about half the time when I ask people, "How are you doing?" they say, "Oh, pretty busy." And they don't say that with excitement or wonder. They say it with a little weariness, with a little burden in those words, as if what they're really saying is, "I'm busier than I want to be. I'm too busy." That's the 21st century plague. We are all too busy. Try to schedule a meeting at St. Matthew's. See how many days it takes you to find a day when everybody isn't busy. Now, there's nothing wrong with being busy. But I think Jesus was right when he said, "Martha, you're worried." One of the reasons we're so busy is that we're worried. We're anxious. We're worried to prove our own self-worth. We're anxious about being perfect parents, so we're going to have our kids excel at every sport and every activity that they could possibly sign up for. We're going to be engaged in so many things that it will prove that we're good people. We wouldn't say that out loud, but that's what's behind a lot of that. We're just trying to fulfill our obligations, maintain our duty, justify our existence, and it's all anxiety. Sometimes we're worrying about the future. We worry about how it's going to turn out. We worry about the results. And you know, if you're worried about the future, you can't be present in the present. If we're trying to prove the worthwhile value of our own existence, it's hard for us to pay attention to other people's worth, no matter how well-intentioned we think it is. Jesus said, "Martha, you're distracted by many things. We're so proud of our capacity to multitask." Being distracted is the opposite of being attracted. When we're distracted, we give energy to our fear and our doubt and our worry. And then we're not fully present. Martha is clanging away in the kitchen with the soups and the pots and the pans, and she's worried about the muffins coming out on time, and she's worried about whether Jesus is going to like the soup, and oh, she's worried about, did she put the paprika in already, or did she put it in twice? And then she's not just making soup. And that worry will be in the soup. Jesus says, "You're worried and distracted about many things, but only one thing is needed." And then, like Jesus, he doesn't say what that one thing is. So, like me, I'll tell you. I should stop doing that. Here's the one thing that's needed. You. Yourself. All of you, holy, lovingly present in this moment. No worries, no distractions, no judgments, no little wheels spinning about, do I like this person or not? Is this a good situation or not? How is this going to turn out? Just be here now. Pour out all of the love and presence that you have into this moment. And it doesn't matter whether you're doing many things or one thing, it doesn't matter whether you're doing something loud or quiet, something active or something still, something big or something tiny and trivial. What matters is that this one thing happens, and that is you are there, present, and loving, and attentive. Instead of channeling all of our worries and all of our distractions, imagine that you are a garden hose screwed into the faucet of God. And that's all that you channel is God's love. And it doesn't matter where you're taken. That's the one thing that you do. You be fully present with the love of God. Yesterday, Peter Bonner took me sailing. There were three of us out there in the boat, a coworker of his. And there are a few tasks that you have to do to get the boat ready. And there are some things you have to do when you're coming about and change some lines. But mostly, you're not there to get anything done. You're just there to be there. We're not trying to get anywhere. We just sailed around Buzzard's Bay, kind of like this. We were just there. I was just sitting there or standing there a lot of the time, just looking at the bay, just being there, feeling the breeze on my face, listening to the sound of the water against the boat, watching the terns flying around and diving for fish, watching all the power boats go by and all of their big muscle, and we're just kind of sloshing along with the muscle of the entire atmosphere, just being there. You know what that's like? If you are a parent or a grandparent or you have good friends or you have a pet, you know that the best thing about them is just being with them. Sometimes you need to do some things for them, but mostly that's just so that you can be with them and just be there. Hold them. or maybe talk with them. Peter and I got to talk on the boat, some kind of important stuff that we talked about. Just being there. Late last night, I got a phone call from Frank Whittier, and I went over to Ann Whittier's bedside, where she is in her last hours of this life. And I said a prayer, and I've done that for 36 years, and many times I've done that just with me and this dying person. Last night, there was Frank, and there were her caregivers, Karen and Donna, and Sandra, who's been there in the past, but she wasn't there. Last night, a new nurse, whose name is Martha. Yeah. And so I said, let's pray together. And we all gathered around the bed. And everybody held her hand or put a hand on her shoulder or her knee. And I just prayed the same kind of prayer I always pray, giving thanks for her life, giving thanks that all of her sins are forgiven, all of the wonderful things that she's done in her life have been gathered up into the love of God, that her whole life is carried from this life to the next with grace and beauty. And the cool thing is, there were these other four people just being there, so there for Anne. She was not conscious. She was hardly there at all, at least this Anne was. The deep, deep Anne. And it's so different to say that same kind of prayer when you have people who are being there. No chores. The nurse set aside her needles and tubes and charts. Just being there. So how do we practice this one thing? Because it doesn't come naturally. We're easily distracted. We often worry. One thing is Sabbath time. There is no substitute for stopping. It's a good thing to be able to pray on the run. It's a good thing to be able to be mindful while you're getting the soup and also the biscuits and also wondering how Jesus is doing out in the living room with Mary and also wondering if Lazarus is ever going to come home. But there is a place and a time to just stop and confront that fear that if I stop, the whole world will fall apart. And repent of that illusion. That's what Sabbath is. You just stop. And if the world falls apart, trust God to put it together. Just let go. And it might be a day at a time, and it might be 5 minutes at a time. But Jesus is inviting us to that one needful thing. To be present here, now. Even just for 1 minute at a time. Till we learn to do that all the time. Another thing that we can practice is concentrating on the love of God, centering prayer, contemplative prayer, just being aware that God is there. We're so distracted that we don't realize what's actually right there. Because the wonderful thing is when we are willing and able to be completely lovingly present in this moment, we discover that God is completely lovingly present for us in this moment, whatever it is. There are some things that God needs to do for us, but mostly the really good news is that God just wants to be with us. God wants to just be with you. Whether you're sitting still or driving down the highway, whether you're hard at work or staring at the wall, God just wants to be with you. And we practice remembering that. Take time to just stop and pay attention to this enormous love that is poured out for you. For that one needed thing. It's you. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we do worry We are distracted by many things. By your grace, we stop. And we allow ourselves to be fully present to your love for us. You who are fully present for us all the time. We root ourselves in that love. And we are happy to be here now. God of grace, we thank you for your love, and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.